I'm Pastor Henry, by the way. If you don't know who I am, it's so good to see you. As Pastor Amy said, we're in the middle of a series on being whole, and last Sunday we talked about being whole in our heart, and about having a well-ordered heart. The invitation in the Scriptures to have a well-ordered heart. We talked about a rule of life, a rule, kind of a framework or a skeleton or a scaffolding of things that we do to bring order into our heart. Today we're going to talk about being whole in our bodies, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 20, and that's found on page 809, if you're using one of the Bibles that you got from the table there. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 12. As we do that, would you pray with me? Father, we come before you now, and as we turn our attention toward to your word to us this morning, as we focus on this theme of being whole in our bodies, just call upon your Spirit to be at work in our midst, teaching, guiding, encouraging, and correcting. Lord, speak to us today. We give this time to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6. Here Paul writes to the church in Corinth and to us here this morning. He says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." And people of God, often at the beginning of a new year, people make resolutions regarding their health, their diet, and their exercise routine. Do you know what this is? Does that look familiar to anybody? Yeah, what is it? There you go. It's the Riverbank running training schedule. That's right. Where is that? That's on my fridge at home. The start of a new year, people set goals in regards to how they're going to treat and handle their bodies. In fact, for the past 2 days, this past Friday and Saturday, there was an entire show, an entire convention going on down the street, just 2 blocks from here at the Voss Place. And what was the name of the show? The show was called Living Well. Listen to the description for this convention. Living well is the act of balancing the pleasures of life with the requirements. Exercise and rest together in balance make body strong. Personal responsibility along with medical intervention aids physical healing. Eating well balances nutrition, energy, and pleasure. Living well is not just about one of these components, but a balance of all. Grand Rapids is a vibrant city alive with farmers markets, responsible grocers, community gardens, progressive exercise facilities, charity races, and some of the best medical care the country has to offer. Living Well at Grand Rapids is an opportunity for the community to connect with these valuable resources to enhance their journey to a healthy, balanced life. Why would you devote an entire convention to living well? Why set New Year's resolutions and goals regarding our diet and our exercise routine? Why would you put a training schedule on your refrigerator? Because there's countless scientific data out there verifying the benefits that come from eating healthy and exercising regularly. Because the condition of our bodies and the health of them affects the whole of whom we are. And if you doubt this to be true, just ask someone you know who deals with chronic pain. Ask them how their physical pain affects their whole body and the whole of who they are, every part of it. Because we all know the health and the well-being and the wholeness of our bodies affects the rest of who we are, people set goals, people care about, people make New Year's resolutions regarding how they treat their bodies. But so often, the basis for making such goals is for physical or social or for appearance reasons. For example, Special K encourages us to eat Special K and to take the Special K challenge. Why? So that we'll fit into our swimsuit this summer. Special K believes that every woman deserves to feel more beautiful more often. That's why you should eat Special K. When I visited the President's Challenge webpage this week, it too gives reasons for taking care of your body. Reasons like a healthy heart, strong bones, a sense of well-being, a good social life, and looking and feeling better. 5 reasons for being concerned about your body. In our text for today, however, Paul commands us to take care of our bodies for a completely different reason than these. While physical, social, and appearance reasons are important and are good motivations for taking care of our bodies, Paul says there's even a more important reason why you and I should be concerned about the wholeness of our bodies. In our text for today, Paul makes 3 claims to illustrate why you and I should be concerned about the wholeness of our body. The first claim Paul makes is found in verse 13, and it's this: our body is for the Lord. In Corinth and in ancient Greece, there was this slogan: food for the stomach and stomach for food, God will destroy them both. And behind this slogan was a certain way of thinking, a certain way of believing, a certain view of spirituality that was common in Greek thought. Gordon Fee, in his comments on these verses, reminds us that the Corinthian and the Greek view of spirituality looked for a spiritual salvation that would finally be divested or separated from the body. Lying behind this form of spirituality is the Greek view of the world that places little or no value on the material or physical order. Out of such view developed the idea of the immortality of the soul. That is, that the spirit is somehow immortal, but the body, along with the rest of the material order, is destined for destruction. What do you think may result from such a view? If you believe that your body was simply destined for destruction, what type of lifestyle would result from such a belief? One of the results was that people ate whatever they wanted, they slept with whoever they wanted, and cared very little about the physical well-being, about what they did and how they treated this. Why? Because since they believed the body was going to be destroyed, it didn't matter what they would do with it. The soul was important because it was immortal. The problem with this view, Paul argues in his text for today, and that Fee reminds us in his comments, is that this is a totally pagan view of the world. the totally pagan understanding of how things are. Listen to what Paul says. He says, the body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. By His power, God raised the Lord from the dead. And He will raise us also. The body too will be raised, Paul says. In this verse, Paul reminds us that our bodies will not be destroyed. Instead, by the power of God, they will be raised, just as Jesus Christ's body was raised from the dead. The Apostles' Creed. Are you familiar with this creed? What does the Apostles' Creed say? What do we confess we believe when we say the creed? It says, I believe in the resurrection of the body. Not just the soul, but the body too. Fee notes for us that in stark contrast to the Greek view, the Old Testament, Genesis 1, declares at creation that God looked at the universe that He had made and pronounced it good. And the final consummation, as outlined in Isaiah 65 and 2 Peter 3 and Revelation 21, it looks for a new heaven and a new earth. And in that new order, the body is raised so that God's people will experience a final wholeness that God intended. Paul reminds us that God didn't give a body so that we could do whatever we felt like it with it. God gave us a body for a reason. And that reason was for Him. The body is for the Lord. Our bodies are for the Lord. Claim number one. The second claim that Paul makes is in verse 15. And that's this. Our bodies are members of Christ. Now the word member that Paul uses here is melos. Melos refers to organs that are inside of us, or the parts of our bodies that we can see. Think heart. Think lungs. Think kidneys. Think fingers or arms or knees. Those parts. Parts of the body. And using this word members, in making this claim about our bodies, Paul is teaching us about our relationship to the Lord. Listen to how Fee states it. The body of the believer is for the Lord because through Christ's resurrection, God has set in motion the reality of our own resurrection. This means that the believer's physical body is to be understood as joined to Christ's own body that was raised from the dead. If and when we believe that Jesus is the Christ, that He's the Savior, and we profess our faith in Him, Paul reminds us that when this happens, we become part of His body, a member of it. Through our faith in Him, we become joined to Him like our arm is joined to our body, like our knee is joined to our body. As these parts are joined to this physical body, our bodies are joined to Christ's body. Because of this connection to Christ's body, because of our union with Christ, Paul says it's important to be aware of what else we are joining this body to. We need to be aware of what we are filling this body with. Why? Because it's joined to Christ. We are a member of His body. Therefore, Paul says, shall I then take the members, right, the part, a part of Christ's body, and unite it with a prostitute? Never, he says. Why? Because would you take a prostitute and unite it with Christ? Most likely not. So then you wouldn't take your own body, which is also joined to Christ, he says, and unite it with a prostitute. Never, he says. In light of this claim, he says, it's important that we ask ourselves, are there things that I shouldn't unite my body with, that I shouldn't fill my body with, that I shouldn't be connected to, because I am connected with Christ like my arm is connected to my own body? Claim number two, our bodies are members of Christ. The final claim, claim number three, is found in verse 19. He says our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. The temple in the Bible and the Scriptures symbolize the place where God dwelled among His people. In Exodus, we read that when the people of God, the people of Israel, were wandering through the wilderness, God dwelled in the Ark of the Covenant, which was placed inside of the tabernacle, a temple on the move, right? A portable temple. God's presence among His people was marked, was symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant. There's a picture of what it most likely looked like up there on the left. That Ark of the Covenant symbolized God's presence in the midst of His people. And it was placed in the tabernacle, which may or may not look something like that. Right? In Exodus 25:22, we read this, there above the cover, right between the two cherubim on top of the Ark, that are over the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord says, I will meet with you, and I will give you all my commands for the Israelites. Wherever the Ark went, so went the presence of God. You wanted the presence of God in your midst. Once Israel settled in the Promised Land, Solomon built a temple for the Lord in Jerusalem. Which kind of looked like, can you go to the next one? Which may look something like that. Okay. Inside the temple was the most holy place. The place where God dwelled. Can you see that up at the top? The Holy of Holies? Do you see the veil or the curtain separating the most holy place? Only the high priest could go into that place once a year. The place where God dwelled. That was the place that symbolized the presence of God. The temple. And inside the temple, the most holy place. So we move from the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, to the temple. But then something happened to this place. This temple, this most holy place, when Jesus died. When He died on the cross. When He gave us His Spirit and He said, it's finished. Do you remember what happened? Do you remember what happened to the curtain in the temple that hung there in the most holy place? What? It ripped. That's right. In Matthew 27, Matthew tells us that it ripped from the top to the bottom. And as that curtain ripped, this signified an important shift in God's presence among His people. No longer was God's presence confined to a particular place or a space, a specific location, to a temple, a physical temple, bricks and mortars, wood and gold. When God sent His Holy Spirit at Pentecost, His Holy Spirit, the Advocate and the Counselor that Jesus promised would come, the presence and the Spirit of God moved from out of that temple. Where? It moved into the people. Into the people of God. It dwelled on them. It dwelled within them. In their bodies. The place that God dwelled was no longer out there somewhere in a building far away. The place where God dwells is now here, within us, within you and me. The Spirit of God dwells in each of us who believe. Our bodies are now temples, the place where God dwells. This is why Paul says here in our text for today, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Claim number three. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Because of these three things, Paul concludes this section by saying we need to honor God with our bodies. Because your body is for the Lord, because your body is a member of Christ's body, because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, therefore, Paul says, honor God with your body. What does it mean to honor? When you hear that command of Paul to you, honor God with your body, what goes through your head? What goes through your heart? What does that mean to honor God with your body? If you were to explain what it means to honor God with your body to someone, what would you say? How would you explain that? One definition that I found that I really like says that the word honor here means to keep the body pure and sound. Pure and sound. How do I honor God with my body? By keeping it pure and sound, that is whole, that is fit, that is healthy. Often they talk about a boat. And is it sound? Would you put it in the water and would you want to get into it? Is it sound enough that you would sit in it and push out from the water? Is it seaworthy? Is it whole enough? Is it sound? How do I honor God with my body? By keeping it pure and sound. People of God, the health and wholeness of our physical bodies is an important thing. Being aware of and concerned about what we eat, if and when we exercise, and how we treat our bodies in general is an essential part of our wholeness. We can't be whole if we don't think about it or are not concerned about it. And while there are all kinds of things to motivate us to take care of our bodies, Paul challenges us today to think beyond the physical, to think beyond the social, to think beyond the appearance. Paul commands us to honor God with our bodies because our bodies are for the Lord. Our bodies are members of Christ's body. Because our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Bodies are the place where God dwells. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we come before you, having been challenged by your word to examine the wholeness and the health and the well-being of our bodies. You've commanded us through your word to honor you with our bodies. To honor you because our body is for you. Because our body is a member of your body. Because our body is the place where you dwell. Lord, as we make New Year's resolutions, as we make goals, as we think about how we treat our bodies, speak to us about this word. Lord, there's all kinds of things that can motivate us, all kinds of things that should. Lord, enable us to be motivated by your word to us this morning. Help us to embrace the truth of it. Lord, if there are any changes that we need to make, or if we're doing anything with or to our bodies that is not holy, that is not sound, that is not pure. Enable us to see that by your Spirit, Lord. Enable us to see it, to make the necessary changes so that wholeness and well-being can occur. Lord, as we continue to worship you through the singing of songs and through the offering of ourselves, speak to us by your Spirit. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.